to receive from her family, her parents, but more than that, what Harvest was able to do as well is continue to add and push because of who she is. And every one of you have gifts on the inside of you as well. And so, young citizen, use it. What you going to do with it? Amen?
How about that?
So, would y'all do me a favor? Would y'all just stand on your feet for a minute and welcome Pastor Melissa Barrett?
And that was for me, praise God. But can we give a hand clap to Jesus? Come on. He's the one who's worthy. He deserves all the praise and honor. Come on, can somebody shout in the room, Jesus. Can somebody shout in the room, Jesus. Jesus, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, welcome. And I must say, I don't know what you've been here for, but I said the Spirit of the Lord moving in this place. Because what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come on now, come on. Give me 30 seconds. 30 seconds on your best place. Come on, 30 seconds. Yeah, in Casa de Oración, translated to House of Prayer. We are 7 minutes away by, who knows, the Colorama. We're in that section right there, hallelujah. Today I have some people with me. I have my mom, Ashley Moran. Come on, give her a clap. Hallelujah. My father, he is not here. He's getting ready for service at 1 p.m., hallelujah. They are my apostles, Encarnacion and Ashley Moret. Praise God. We give glory for everything that he's doing. Amen. I have some of the youth with me. Arielis, come on, sis. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. She ain't shy. And I also have Shadielis with me. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you to the leadership, the pastors of this house. Thank you so much for praying into me, to believing in me, for opening the doors for me in this house. Thank you for Elder, Pastor Rob, Pastor Stegman, and Pastor Bruce, you guys have been so amazing. Hallelujah. But I have to go quickly because, like I said, I got a service to get to, and I want the Spirit of the Lord to speak what he has to speak this morning. Hallelujah. If you can stand up on your feet, let's open our word. Hallelujah. The reverence of the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 16:24. Hallelujah. Matthew 16:24, we just thank you. Hallelujah. I love to worship too. You just flow with me. Hallelujah.
How did you do that?
Matthew 6:24. When you have it, please say a strong amen. Amen. We read the word in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is blessed and your word is true. God, I pray that it be you speaking through me, God. I pray that you minister to every heart, every soul, every mind in this place, God. I thank you, Lord, for today. Revival is happening and revival is now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I just need one young person, just one, to leave you empowered, transformed, and changed for the glory of God. I will go and do what you have called him to do. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, and we thank you, and it means so long that you with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My title for this message is, are you a follower or are you a disciple? Ask your neighbors, tell them, are you a follower or are you a disciple? Hallelujah. We must understand the difference between the two. We live in a day and age where society says, go follow this trend, and go follow this lifestyle, and go follow this person, and go follow this recipe, go follow this, and go follow that. Follow what you want to do. It's all about what you want to do. Let me just let that sit there. Follow your heart desires. Follow with your dreams and your goals. Let your name be famous and be known. But let me tell you, we serve a God that goes against the current. He goes against the world. He goes against the patterns. And he said, I'm not looking for followers. I'm looking for disciples. Jesus. We barely hear the word disciples in our churches. When we hear the word discipline and discipleship in the church, it has to do with submission and correction and rebuking and reproofing. And you tell somebody, oh, you can't do that. They're looking at you crazy. Well, when our pastors and our leaders try to correct us, we get an attitude and say, who do you think he's talking to?
Right. Jesus. Yeah, they do.
If only they knew. That they're not rejecting the pastor. They're rejecting the God that's behind the pastor. God is looking for the generation that would say, yes, I will submit, Lord. I will allow myself to be corrected.
Yeah.
It's like I said, God doesn't need no more followers. He needs disciples. And so, let me explain what a disciple is. It's very simple. A disciple is a student. A student who is engaged in learning, who wants to know, who follows in his clothes, not only follows, but stays submitted. That stays in the correction. That stays when it gets hard. And when they stay when they don't know. They stay when they're confused because they understand there's an assignment. There's something greater. And I have to stay submitted and allow myself to be corrected.
Right.
You all have to understand that Jesus had followers all the time. You see in the scriptures that the multitude follow him. He had multitudes all the time. But what happens when the signs and miracles were finished? They went back home. That's what a follower does. When they receive what they needed, they go back home. You see, followers come and go. They follow you today and they don't follow you tomorrow. But the disciple says, I'm staying here. I don't care what may put or what sun may come my way, but I'm staying here because there's a greater commitment. And I trust in you, Lord. I follow you, Jesus. Come, Jesus. My commitment is unto you, Lord. Jesus. We see this in the young rich ruler. He goes to Jesus and says, good teacher, what can I do to attain eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you must follow the commandments. Honor your mother, do not steal. And then the young man says, well, I follow all of these since my youth. What do I still lack, Lord? Jesus said, well, that's perfect. Sell what you have and get to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great pursuit. What happened? He was a follower. He didn't want the Lord. He wanted what the Lord could give him. If he understood the man that was right in front of him, that he is the owner of the gold and silver. No. That he supplies all your riches and poor. All he needs according to his riches and glory. If he could understand the man that was in front of him, was not no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus was correcting him at the moment. He said, oh no, I can't do this. I'll go. And we also see this in John 6. There was also another multitude. Jesus was just finished the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And then Jesus crosses on the other side, and the multitude follows him. And then Jesus is like, y'all not here because of me. You're here because of the miracle. He said, and then Jesus goes into a deeper explanation of that I am the living bread. You come from bread that does not last, but I'm the one standing right in front of you. I am the living bread that can satisfy all your needs. But Jesus went deeper, and they was like, oh my God, this is a hard saying. Who can understand? And I love what Jesus says. He says, does this offend you? Are you offended? And the Bible says that many of them went their way. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you're going to feel offended. Sometimes you're not going to like what the Lord has to say. Jesus. But then the Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, you didn't catch it. The followers went away, but Jesus turned to his disciples, the ones that were still staying. So he said, do you also want to go too? And Peter said, Lord, where else can I go? But you have the words of eternal life. That is the difference between a follower and a disciple. Knowing I can't go nowhere, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I don't got the strength. I don't got the ability. I don't have the mindset. I don't have the lifestyle to live this life without you.
Yeah.
I don't have it, Lord.
But you want it.
You have to understand, also, we're preaching to the young people. Young people. The only thing I remember for college, hallelujah, that was in psychology class, they said that the young people grow with this egocentric mindset. Me, 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 me. I want this, when I want it, how I want it. Listen, it's okay, because I was there too. You can ask my mama, right? Listen, I had a nasty attitude. I didn't know how to control my mouth. But the Lord was like, we're going to cut this off, and we're going to shake this, and we're going to transform this. You know what makes a difference between a follower and a disciple? It's your willingness to stay. Your willingness to be submitted. Your willingness to be corrected.
That's it.
Young people, let me tell you something. I know that our parents can get on our nerves. I understand that. You said, Lord, again, she telling me this again, Lord. She said, well, my time, I think. Girl said that you ain't gonna do it the same. I get it. But you don't understand that your parents are training you on the way that you should go. They have an assignment from the Lord to train you in God's way. And sometimes God's way, you're not going to like it all the time. Do you understand me? But it's best for you. It's what you need. Because let me tell you, you're not here just because. You're here because God placed you with a purpose and assignment of your life. And so you will do whatever you got to do so that plan of purpose can be pushed out of you. Do you understand me?
Yes!
Hallelujah.
You on it. You on it.
If you want to take notes this morning, I'm going to tell you 3 points of characteristics of the disciple. Hallelujah. All right, now I love to teach. Praise the Lord. So number one, first characteristic is disciples, they deny everything for Jesus. Number one, they deny everything for Jesus. We see this in Luke 14:33. Hallelujah. It says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You have to forsake all, church. Not some, not 25%, not 20-30%. You must forsake every single thing. Thank you, Jesus. We see this with Peter and Andrew. Jesus goes by the boat and they're struggling to get the fish.
Get
nothing all night. And so Jesus gets on the boat and he's like, well, go more deeper. And Peter's like, listen, we worked all night and we didn't get nothing. You're not telling me to go deeper? And Jesus says, go in deeper. And so they go in deeper. And then now he said, cast the net. And then cast the net. And then the nets started filled with so much fish that the nets started breaking, and then they call all the people from the other boats and they're like, hey, listen, help us, because our nets are breaking. Praise Jesus. And so after the miracle, Peter said, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus looks at Peter, he said, no longer will you be a fisherman, but now you'll be a fisherman of men. No, now when Jesus called Peter as his disciple, he said, let go of everything and come and follow me, because what I'm going to do with you is something you've never seen, nothing you've never heard, has never entered your heart, but I have planned for you. But Peter had to let go of what? Of everything. He had to leave his job, his family, his comfortability, what he knew, he left it all. He didn't think about it twice. He said, what? I'm going with you. Listen, y'all better figure it out because I'm going to follow this man.
And this thing to be a disciple?
When we look at the word denying, it means to disown or to renounce. It means to reject everything for something or to someone. God is looking for a person that says, Lord, I reject myself. I don't care about what I have. I don't care about the job. I don't care about my money. I don't care about the followers. I don't care about my stream. Lord, I will leave everything for you. I let go my dreams, my desires. This involves denying someone. You must forget yourself. You must forget your own interests. Because if you truly want to be a disciple, you must understand it's all about God. Like the young man was saying in his poem, I believe. He said, it's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about God. And we see this. When Jesus went to the cross, you must understand, he wasn't thinking about himself. Do you understand me? Jesus had everything in the heaven. He didn't have to come down. He didn't have to save us. But he did it because he loved you. He did it because he wanted you. He thought about you every single way to that cross. And so I love the revelation of the Apostle Paul gives. He says, no longer I live. No longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Young person, you must understand no longer that you live. But it's Christ living in you. This is why the Bible says in Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. You must die to yourself. You must die to yourself. Crucified, just as Christ was crucified. The Bible says if we die with him, we also resurrect with him. Listen, God is not asking you to die so to stay dead, but he's asking you to die so you can be resurrected with him. So the inner man, your inner spirit can resurrect and come out so people can see the Christ in you. Do you understand? Crucify. Listen, I know, young people, there's a lot of attractions in the world. The money, the fame, the being known, having this, having that. They say, I have two little sisters. And they're like, can I get this headphone? Or I need these sneakers? And then it's, oh, Holy Spirit, pray for my mom, please, pray for her. I did it. Everybody got it. We want to all look the same, but you weren't made to look the same. You were made to stand out. You were made to be different. You meant to be the light of the world because the light of the world lives inside of you. He's not looking for just any other person. He wants you to shine. So when you step into the place, the kingdom of darkness must come out. When you come into a room, demons must tremble and sickness must leave. And liberation must come and enter. The heavens open. You don't understand. God is not asking you just to do something, just to do it. It has a greater plan and purpose, young people. You understand that? And I know it hurts. Listen, there was things I was like, oh, I don't want to let this go, God. I don't want to, Jesus, please. Do anything else, but I don't want to let this go. So you don't understand that after this, there's a greater glory. After this, there's a greater victory. No, you understand? After this, there's a greater blessing. Let it go. I promise you. I promise you I will be with you along the way. Trust me. Trust me. Have your confidence in me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Point number two. Disciples bear much fruit. I'm going to say it again. Disciples bear much fruit. John 15:7-8 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I say this to the young people at my church. I say, God is invested in the best version of you. I'm going to say it again. God is invested in the best version of you, but are you invested in the best version of yourself? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to do the molding, to do the cutting, to do transformation, the pruning, so the best version of you can come out? I love it because Jesus was only in ministry for 3 years, but preparation for 30. Let me see. You're like, no, I'm ready to do the will of the Lord. I'm ready. Pastor, let me get a part, Pastor. Let me sing. Let me play the instrument. No. You need some preparation because this is some attitudes in you. And there's some language in you that the Lord got to prune. He got to take out. You ain't ready yet. Don't get desperate. Don't get desperate. Let the work of the Lord, let him mold you. Because let me tell you, God will never be embarrassed. Mm-mm. The Lord will never be embarrassed. He's not going to send someone who is not ready for the assignment. Jesus. God is invested in the best version of yourself. But are you invested in the best version? Listen, God cannot force you to do anything. We have this mindset. Lord, have your way. And yes, he will. But he won't force you to pray. He won't force you to read your Bible. He won't force you to fast. He won't force you to come to church. He won't force you to serve. No. You got this mindset that like, but Lord, I'm going to do it. No. Jesus, he decided for himself, I will come down, Lord. Send me. I'll do it. I'll die for them. No one else will. I will do it, Jesus. And that's what Jesus, that's what the Lord is looking for. For the disciple says, Lord, I'll do it. It doesn't matter how much it hurts. No matter how much you got to take away. Even when I don't understand, Lord, do it in me. Do it in me so I can bear much fruit for your glory. Bear much fruit for his glory. He's not asking you to bear fruit for yourself so you can bring it up for his glory. You understand? So his name can be exalted and be known. See, you have to understand that God sees you at your end result. He sees you at your perfection already. He said, I created you to be like this and this and that. That's already set in the spiritual realm. But what happens now in our time? This is why you feel you see the mountains and you see the giants and you see the situations and the problems and the people that get on your nerves, the people can't stop talking about you. That's for sure. Yeah. Am I the only one?
No.
Listen, can I testify? The people on the phone, parents yell at me. I said, Lord, get up before I do, Jacob. Get up. Oh, can we be real transparent in the room? And I'm like, praying in the spirit. And I'm like, so if y'all watch the cameras, you know what's happening. The fruit. But when you allow yourself to be molded, when you allow God to cut off the things that don't work no more, when you allow God to shift your attitude, your mindset, your thoughts, what you're seeing, then you can bear much fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Listen, we need a lot of self-control in this generation. I'm going to do what I want because that's just who I am. Listen, nobody's going to change me. Okay, then you want to stay like that. God not work. Okay, you want to be like, that's fine. But I'm going to find someone else who will do my will. No, God is not here. He's not a babysitter. He's not going to sit here babysitting. Oh, come on. No, you don't want to do it. Okay, I'll call somebody else. I'll choose somebody else. No, because, listen, the work of the Lord is going to be done. Either way, period.
Right,
with you or without you. You understand me?
Right.
But he wants to use you. He wants, that's his desire. That you can be part of the work of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Bear much fruit. That what you do, that you do it with love. You do it with kindness. You do it with goodness. You do it with patience, with joy, with self-control. Now the question is, how do I bear fruit? How do I come with this process? What is the verse? It says, by abiding in him. For without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
You cannot do anything without the Lord. And so abiding is that you accept, you act in accordance with what the Lord is telling you to do. Listen, I saw this Instagram post and it made me laugh. It was like, it's a guy who was talking. He said, how do you have so much quiet time, but you still got a bad attitude? How you say you pray and you fasting 24/7, but you still got no self-control? How you say you pray and you with the Lord and the Lord is speaking to you, but you still got no joy? Church, no. When you're in the quiet time with the Lord, when you're abiding in his presence, that's when the confrontation comes. When the Lord, when it's, you have to shut everything out and you must accept and act in accordance with what the Holy Spirit is telling you. He was like, listen, you gotta go apologize to your mom because that was not nice what you said to her.
Right?
You know how many times I said, you gotta go apologize? Your attitude is not nice. You didn't have to say, I said, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm convicted. That happens. Why? That is the fruit that's taken. Ooh, that's bearing out of you. But it's what happened. We're not bearing fruit because we're not abiding. Mm-hmm. You must abide. If you want to bear much fruit, you must abide. Close off TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Listen, tell your parents, listen, I gotta go pray. Tell your husband or wife, I'm gonna go pray. I'm going to draw into the secret place with the Lord because I know there's some fruit that needs to come out, but I need the Lord to speak to me. I need the Lord to confront me. I need the Lord to tell me what I need to do. You say, cut this off, all right, Lord. Don't look at this, all right, God. Cancel this, all right, Jesus. Because there's something that the Lord wants to do inside of you. It's not just about gifting. It's about your soul. Because I can sing and have a nasty attitude. I can preach, but I have no self-control. I can do all things. But if I don't got fruit, if I don't got fruit, I'm nothing. I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this world will bear fruit like never before. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy, Lord of God, that you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit like never before. When someone wants to cut you off, you say, God bless you. God bless you. When someone wants to do something, you say, if you have some control, God bless you, man of God. Jesus. Bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. The glory of God wants to be glorified through you. Do you understand that? He wants to share his glory with you. So his light can shine and be revealed. Number three, and I'm going quickly now. They pick up their cross. Disciples pick up their cross. Luke 14:27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'm going to say that again. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Wow. Let me tell you something. Many believe that when Jesus picked up the cross, they thought that's when he was about to die. No, Jesus died way before the cross even happened. Let me tell you, what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? He's praying. He said, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. God, if there's any possible way, Lord, pass this come from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Right there, Jesus died to himself. He died to his anguish. He died to his sorrow. He died to his emotions, to his feeling. But the people said, not my will, Lord. Not my will, Lord. But your will be done. God is looking for some people that said, not my will, Lord. Not my will, Jesus. But your will be done. That you be glorified. That you be lifted high. That you be made known. Jesus, come on. Come on. It's time to pick up your cross. It's time to say, not my will, Lord. I'm done trying to do it in my own way. I'm tired of thinking I know what I'm about to do in my life. No. Die to yourself. Die to your will. Because you know, there's an assignment. There's an assignment. There is a Jesus, there is an assignment. An assignment is about souls. It's about souls. It's about souls. Not my head. The assignment is about souls. Do you understand me? There is an assignment. Whatever God has called you to do is to bring souls into the kingdom. Either you rap, you sing, you can draw, you can dance, you can preach. All those things that the Lord has placed in you is part of the assignment to bring souls into the kingdom. I ain't here to look cute.
I'm here to because of the souls, for the young people, for this generation. Because listen, the enemy is trying, but I rebuke every spirit of depression, every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of suicide, every spirit of fornication, confusion, homosexuality. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Because this generation won't die, but will multiply in the name of Jesus. A generation will rise up and say, Lord, I picked up my cross, even when I don't want to, even when I don't understand. The people and the people will say, what's the money? What's the money? Yeah, I picked up my cross. I pick up my cross. No, you don't understand. I pick up my cross, Lord. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. Lord, I died to myself a long time ago. And now I'm picking up my cross. Even though they spit on me. Even though they beat me, Lord. Because it's not about me, God. It's about you, Jesus. It's about the souls. It's about the souls. If you don't hear anything as I say today, it's about the souls. And the question we all ask, why must we be disciples? When this word disciples, why is it so important? Well, it's the part of the Great Commission. The last thing that Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
18 and 20.
Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. See, God is not looking. He's not looking for followers. He's looking for disciples. He's looking for people who will be faithful to him, that can withstand the correction, that can withstand the submission, that can withstand the rebuke. Disciples that say, Lord, I'll let it go. I'll forsake all. I don't care. Take what you got to take away. But don't take your spirit. Don't take your presence for me, Lord. Woo, he's looking for disciples that say, Lord, I will bear much fruit. That with my smile, they can see the love of Jesus. That the way I say hello, they can see the goodness of God. And he's looking for disciples that will pick up their cross. That will say yes to the assignment, God. Wherever you call me, wherever you need me to go, Lord, I will do it. No matter the storm, the trials, the tribulation, it doesn't matter what, I will pick up my cross. Because you picked up the cross for me, so I will pick up the cross for you. Lord, you didn't have to, but you did it anyway. And this is the least that I can do, Lord. And pick up my cross and share the good news of the gospel. And share the good news of the gospel. And share the good news of the gospel. Let me tell you, we came home last night. I got to my house at 5:30 in the afternoon from a mission trip to Colombia. Colombian Christianity is not well known. They're more in the Catholic. But we saw the glory of the Lord in that place. A great victory. And why am I sharing this? Because this is a part of the assignment of the souls. Listen, you don't have to go on missionary trips. I'm not saying that. But whatever you do, let it bring glory to the kingdom of God. To bring souls, to bring young people, to bring all ages, souls. And we saw a great harvest there. Even with the rain, Pastor Ray, you know that was demonic. Because at 6 o'clock, it was a rain. Not the whole day, but as soon as we saw this, they wanted to rain. I said, well, rain or shine, we're going to do this because this, the enemy. you think we're going to stop? No, we're going to take these souls by force. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. And we took that region by force. We saw over 50 souls from the Lord Yes. Of all ages, children, young people, older folks, we give glory and honor to the Lord. And I want to open the altar because I want to pray for you.
Amen.
I want to pray for you.
Amen.
I'm going to pray for you. Quickly, just to give you a quick testimony. I want you to just close your eyes and just listen and meditate. It's funny because Pastor Ray keeps introducing everyone to me as 23. I just turned 25. That's too funny. So I'm like, it's okay, Pastor. Come on, y'all. But I woke up on Tuesday so grateful, so grateful. So grateful. Because not many people make it to 25. You understand?
That's right.
Not many people make it to 25 with a sound mind. Not many people make it to 25 free from addiction. Not many people make it to 25 living in a home instead of living in a prison cell. Do you understand me? Not many people make it. And I said, Lord, I thank you, God, that I'm still here. The many times I wanted to give up. The many times I wanted to go in the towers that I can't. But His grace, His mercy, His goodness still ran after me. I said, Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Being here today is just part of my testimony, part of where the Lord is taking me, and I'm just so grateful. You know, I just want to say to any young person, you may not understand why you're here or why you were created. You don't understand why the different situations you went through your life, but listen, God's grace and mercy is still on your life. And He still loves you. And He still wants you. He wants to have a deep relationship with you. So if there's anyone here who does not know the Lord, anyone here who has walked far from the Lord and said, I want to reconcile, I want to give my life to Jesus, the altar is open. I want to pray for you for salvation. There is a God in heaven that's waiting for you to welcome you home. The altar is open. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, give your hand clap. Come on, soul. Come on, come on. Heaven is rejoicing. Come on. Heaven is rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. The Lord is doing the work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God, for the young people. We thank you, God, for their lives. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for the revival is here and it's now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Lord, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for forgiving my sins. I believe that you died and you resurrected to give me eternal life. Lord, I recognize I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Lord, I ask you, save me from myself. Save me from my mistakes. Save me from my failures.